2 Corinthians chapter 9, 6-8. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound for you, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work.
I titled today's message Offering. And you know, last week I talked about the title of last week's message was Being Naked and Dying, right? And I was thinking about, people are asking me, you know, saying, you talked enough about being naked, right? But, you know, I want to understand what it means to die. What, can you give me some practical ideas on how we should die? And, you know, I was shocked, you know, I was like, wow, okay, you want to hear about dying? Okay. You know, but I tried to think of it, die, you know, such a harsh word, you know, die, you know, we come to die. But, you know, I think it's really a Presbyterian term, you know, it's kind of like, you know, die is like the negative connotation makes us to think better. What do you call it? I guess think about it better. But you know, another word for die is offer. Offer. I want to ask you guys, offer. I want to, you know, I was hoping he would be here because I wanted to start out with a story about him. I wanted to thank him. You know, he's going to hear this recording, so I wanted to thank him because a bunch of us guys got together and we went to his place. And, you know, we had fun together. He hosted basically our gathering together. And I just thought it was a gesture that was just really amazing because if you really pry into Keith's life, he's really a busy guy. You know, he has a family, he has a job, and, you know, he's very successful. And for many people that have become successful, you know, they tend to kind of shy away from people that are kind of growing. You know, the people that are doing well, that are well off financially, that have a nice place to live in, you know, they don't have any reason to help those that are younger or, you know, take care of us, you know. But he just did it just freely, free-willed. He just offered to have us over, fed us dinner. And that's example of offering. And I think we could see more of this kind of offering. I asked Paul to lead worship for us this Friday, you know, just this Friday. And he said, yeah, of course I'll do it. You know, and then Yuri and Anna, they just came and agreed to, you know. These are the examples of offering. I think, you know, it's just in our church, there's just so many people who does such great things. Did you know that God generally wants to bless us and make us successful? Now, before I go deep into that, I want to talk about this prosperity gospel, which I don't believe. Prosperity gospel, you know, sometimes people may get mixed up. It's basically that prosperity gospel is saying God rewards those he favors. So the logic is this: somebody is rich, God favors this person, so then therefore he is rich. You know, this person is poor, you know, maybe this person doesn't really cling to God enough, that's why this person is poor. I don't believe in that. I believe that God disciplines those he loves. And he rewards those he loves, but then the rewards, the earthly benefits that people get, it's not really for earthly benefit. It's actually for God to test you under those circumstances when you have more. Because when you have more, you tend to rely on yourself. And if you guys remember this picture, you know, we kind of tend to go that damaged by evil way. We kind of focus, you know, I'm good on my own. I don't need God, right? So I want to make sure that you guys understand that the prosperity gospel, just for the books and records. Now, prosperity gospel, now, some people say, you know, God favors those who are rich, but God really loves us, and our purpose in this world is so that we could prepare for eternity. And so, so God, he wants us to grow through the riches that he provides for us. And he does want us to prosper in our lives. He does want us to be successful, but then we need to give. We need to offer. That's the secret that I want to give to you guys today. I know some of you sometimes ask, you know, so how can I be successful? You know, where do I go from here? How do I, I know some of us, you know, might be, how do I choose my career? How do I become successful in my career? You know, is career really the answer? You know, how about starting my business? How can I be successful in business? Whatever, but there's many ways to do it, right? But then the secret is this. You trust in God by offering. Now, this Friday, I took a Friday off from work, and what I did was I told no one that I took Friday. I mean, some of you knew, but I tried to keep it secret as much as I can because I wanted to spend the time with God. So I went to a park, and I wanted to spend some time with God. This was like a date with God. And there I was thinking about bride. You know how I always joke about bride? You know, in the Bible, it talks about, you know, Jesus is the husband, the groom, and we, the church, are the bride. And, you know, for us guys, you know, kind of like, what? You know, the bride? Because when I basically set this date with God, you know, it was just a time for me to just kind of do nothing but just have a chance to talk with God. I just went and just started thinking about bride. What does that mean? What does that signify? I want to ask you guys, what's your picture of a man, of a guy, of a husband, of a father? Think about it. What's in your ideal of that? And I was thinking about that. In my opinion, just my thoughts back then was the husband should be able to make money or, you know, be able to bring in the resources so that way he could provide for the family. So that way the woman could just kind of rely on the husband and the children could rely on the father and the father should be able to provide for them. And the bride, on the other hand, is just someone who just depends. You know, that's what I was thinking about. I know in today's times it's not really that perfect picture, but you know, I was thinking about it. So, date with God. I need to take this bride position. You know, because as a guy, you know, I'm always thinking about, I need to get this done. I need to take care of this. I need to provide the resources. I need to be doing this. But then, as I was thinking deeper and deeper, I'm realizing, okay, so maybe I must die. And, you know, in other words, I must self-willingly trust God. Bible talks about a prostitute in the book of Hosea. Actually, you know, before I continue on, does everybody have their Bibles? Because we're going to flip through a lot of passages today. And if you don't have Bibles, Yuri, can you look in there and find some Bibles for us? Is there anyone without a Bible? Just raise your hand if you don't. And I encourage you to sit next to somebody who knows where the Bible passages are because we're going to do a lot of flipping. All right. So, Bible talks about a prostitute in this book called Hosea, and we're not going to read it because it's long, but basically, here's a guy who marries this woman. She's a prostitute, though. This guy, he provides everything for the woman, everything that she ever needs, but then she decides, I don't need to be with you. I'm going to go, do what I want. And I was thinking, you know, maybe this is kind of like our view of God. We do what we want. We take care of ourselves. We go through school. We try to get the good grades. We try to get the good jobs. And then we don't really need God. We're no different than this prostitute because there's this husband who provides everything for this woman, but she decided to go do whatever she wants. And that's it. You know, I think we need to learn to self-willingly submit to God. And he will take care of us, whatever we need, whatever we ever need, he can provide. And sometimes we forget that, right? And for you guys here, you know, are you able to think in that bride position? Because I know us guys, you know, I think, you know, many churches, I've seen many more women in the churches, and I think that might be something, you know, maybe us guys, we have a hard time taking the bride position, you know, when we're at a position of trust, where even our jobs, our careers, whatever our futures are, we sometimes have a hard time trusting. So let's trust God, and then we're going to continue to focus on offering. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, so today, Lord, let us be humble, Father, and let us be able to think about offering. You know, in our lives, Lord, there's so many things we feel like we need to accomplish and do. But Father, and through all that, through our lives, let us be able to trust in you and then offer to you our lives. And Lord, then we believe that you will take care of all things. Lord, by trusting in you, Lord, you will get us the best job, best career path. You'll take care of our future. You'll take care of our families. Everything that we have in our minds, anything that we may possibly worry about, you got it and you can take care of it for us. So help us to trust in you. And Lord, be with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Has any of you written resumes before? Resumes. I mean, I'm sure most of us have. And, you know, think about what's in this resume, because I've written many resumes. I transferred from job to job to job many times. And, you know, I had to rewrite the resume and then, you know, change the wording and then rewrite it and all that. Think about what's in your resume. Think about what's in other people's resume. All right. I know one of us here has read many resumes. But anyway, our resumes talk about our accomplishments, right? About the things that we've accomplished in our lives, our educational pursuits, or what have we accomplished in our education. You know, our experiences. But there's one difference between the world and what God views. God views our hearts. See, in the world, you know, if you want to get a good job, you got to say, I've done this. I was able to lead this kind of people, and I was able to successfully manage this project, and, you know, and I was able to program this software, and now because of that, our company has benefited, you know, $10 million or something to that extent. We talk about our accomplishments, right? But God, He doesn't care about any of our accomplishments. He doesn't care about what you are able to do. He doesn't care about, you know, the things you will do. I mean, He cares about where your life is going. But He looks at the heart. All those accomplishments that you made, He looks at the heart. Now, offering, it existed from the beginning of time. First account shows in Genesis chapter 4. You guys are welcome to look it up. This is where Abel gave his gifts to God, Abel and Cain. Abel gave his best to God. He took whatever was important to him and gave his best to God. Whereas Cain, he just kind of brought him whatever was left. This is what it says, Genesis 4, verses 3 to 4. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. Here, you know, Cain, I'm just thinking about Cain. He's the older brother. Cain probably had a little more money than Abel did. Right? He's the older brother. He probably had more experience. Cain probably brought God like this big amount of crops. Like this, you know, it was probably more costly possibly than what Abel had. I don't know. I'm just making it up, by the way. But God didn't like that. But Abel, he brought the best of what he had. See, Cain was a farmer. He tended the fields, right? So Cain gave what was possibly valuable to him, his crops. But he didn't really give the best. Whereas Abel, he was an animal herder. So animals were very important to him, but he killed the best of the best for God. And God was pleased with Abel. Why? Because God saw through the heart. He was more concerned about the heart than the offering. You see, God doesn't need offering. If you've ever thought about it that way, you know, God doesn't need offering. He created all this. If you believe in God, see, He created everything, right? Then what is this God wanting from us? You know, then let us live. Just leave us alone, right? But see, God doesn't need anything, but He wants our hearts. That's what He wants. He wants our hearts. Think of it like this, you know, any of us that has children, or think of it like, you know, you've seen kids, right? Like 5-year-olds, right? They draw a little picture from their home, you know, like the dad's birthday's coming up. And then the kid draws like this happy face of, you know, like mom, dad, and then gives it to the dad. Here it is, dad. Really, is that of any value to, you know, in terms of what the father has? Father, you know, as the father, you know, this 5-year-old can't possibly give anything. But when the father receives it, you see, something from the heart of the kid, you want to treasure it, right? I think that's what it's like. God wants our hearts. He doesn't care about the values, the things that we give. So, now I think that's what it's like too. You know, sometimes, let's say for example, coming to church on Sunday, right? Many of us kind of come, I don't know what your reasons are, but some of us come because we have to, some of us because our parents tell us to, sometimes because, you know, we feel like it's the right thing, you know. But I think sometimes if it's something that you didn't want to do, it was not self-willed, I think it's religion you're practicing. And, you know, God is against religion. You guys know that, right? It should be an offering, right, where we kind of freely, willingly give. You know, like this child, you know, you know, something out of his heart, you know, what's the best thing I could do for my dad? And then drew a picture, right? And if you look at Acts chapter 17, actually, look it up with me. I'm going to read Acts chapter 17. Yeah, I wanna show you guys that God doesn't need anything from us. So can we all open it up? Acts chapter 17. See, God made all things and He doesn't need anything. But we give, we offer. And the reason why we give and offer is because giving generously shows that we completely surrender ourselves to God. You see, we're saying it's we completely surrender to God. That's one aspect of offering. Another reason for our offering is because we show our thanks to God. You know, I just want to do it for God. You know, I love God. I just want to do it for God. That's the heart that God wants from us. All right, so I'm going to read from Acts 17, verse 24 through 28. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands. And He is not served by human hands as if He needed anything. Because He Himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man He made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. And He determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men will seek Him and perhaps reach out for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being. As some of our own poets have said, we are His offspring. Think about it. God created all these things. He doesn't need anything from us, but He wants our hearts. He wants us to go to Him. All right. And in our Lord's Day service, our Sunday services, our small group gatherings, our times of ministry. Now I'm going to talk to you guys about ministry shortly. They should be an offering, not something like, oh, you know, I got to do this because I'm a member of this church. No. Try to forget that picture, you know. I know for some of us, you know, we haven't, you know, we're still trying to figure it out, but it should be self-willed. God doesn't, you know, we're going to be doing offering later, right, where we put in money in the basket. Don't do it if you feel like, you know, this is something I have to do. This is something I'm used to doing. This is something we should be self-willingly giving. So, you know, I created this Sangster Dictionary line, offering. What is an offering? Right, it's on your sheets. Gift from the heart, one that is given self-willingly. And like beginning of this message, I was talking about dying, right? Offering. It's the same thing, really. To be able to give from your self-willingly, you know, no one's forcing you. You just kind of do it, right? Kind of like dying. It's self-willingly dying, self-willingly giving. Offering is not just money. I know many times, you know, we've been to church, you know, you give money in the offering basket, right? Offering is not just something in terms of money. Offering is anything that is valuable to us. And since many of us, too many of us, money is valuable, and money is, I guess, important for all of us to live, right? That's why, you know, we consider offering money in money terms. But offering is anything that's valuable to us. All right, in Abel and Cain's time, there was no monetary system, so Cain gave the crops and Abel gave animals. In our times, think about it. What is important to you? What is valuable to you? Two things I think many of us would agree that are valuable to us, especially in a busy society. Well, you know, there's money, right? There's also time. You guys agree with that? We're all busy. You know, we all have so many things you got to do. But then there is time that we need to also give to God. So this is why, you know, when we come to church, it's really us that come together self-willingly, you know, to minister to others. And if we kind of come just to kind of sit down in the crowd and, you know, just maybe enjoy the service, you're missing out on all the blessings, because this is the secret to your success in life. It's really to offer, to really jump in, and then to participate in the ministries. When I talk about ministries, I'm talking about, I guess I missed it when we were showing the website, but there are ministries that we have that we want to build. For example, right now, Yuri's dealing with the computers back there. There's also the praise team. Paul led worship today. There's other things that we want to do. You know, for example, I want somebody to take care of, like, college people, you know, in their studies, you know, maybe somebody that could prepare care packages or something, some way to show that we care about others. And they take away our time. Sometimes it may even take away our money. But by offering what is valuable to you, God is going to boost your life. And it's just all over the scriptures. Let's look at it. Let's look at scriptures today. Today's scripture, can you flip back a slide, please? If you look at today's scripture, it goes, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. It's talking about the more you give, you know, in our lives, in most of our lives, you know, we're kind of like thinking about us, right? Remember that arrow pointing at us? You know, I need to take care of my job. I need to take care of my family. I need to go do this, do this, do that. But the world is actually backwards. If you were to actually go out instead of go in, you see, God has more blessings for you. So it was talking about if you give more, the more you will receive abundantly. That's what the Bible says. Each man, verse 7, each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. If you're ever giving anything, just forced, you know, it's not really an offering that God cares about. You know, I think it's nice, you know, you give something, but don't do it forcefully. Don't do it because, you know, you feel like you have to. But I want you to, because that's really the trick to life. I'm telling you, you know, that really is. If you want to be successful in life, you know, if you, you know, are concerned about, like, who am I going to marry, you know, who, you know, when am I going to find this person, or what kind of job will I get, how am I going to sustain myself, this is the secret right there. Just give. And God will take care of the rest. Verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Think about it. Why would God make us successful? Because so that in all things, at all times, you will have all that you need to dwell in every good work. That's it. So that way you could succeed in the things you do and then keep growing, right? And then when you keep growing, again, it always comes back to the question, the paradox question. I'm successful. I have $1 million. I don't need to work anymore. Then what happens is people kind of become selfish. I don't need God anymore. I no longer need to cling to God. Then, you see, now you've just kind of messed it up, you see. I think the right position is, God, I need you, and I'm going to serve. I'm going to give my time and money or whatever it is to serve God, to do good works for him. He will take care of me. He blesses me. We should be able to give that back away, right? And we give that back away, and then he will bless us more. We'll become even more rich or whatever he will bless us with. I guess, again, that problem comes, you know, do we want to be selfish and think to ourselves? Because we're set for our life. I don't need to work anymore. I'm good. No. I think the right way is give it more away. You know, I think that should be the kind of cycle that we should have in our lives. I want to ask you this. Have you ever met people you truly respect? Think about it. People you truly respect. You really want to follow this guy, you know, this guy, this lady, you know, somebody you really want to follow. And then imagine that this person was a Christian and you were not a Christian, right? And said, you know, hey, listen, I believe I became successful because, you know, I trusted in God. Would you want to follow? See, I think that's the thing for any Christians. For us Christians, I know many times the perception is, if you're a Christian, now I got to live poor. You know, now I got to live just mediocre life because now I'm a Christian. But God really wants us to be successful, to be trustworthy, to be somebody that people would look up to, because then God would be glorified, right? God would be better known through that. Think about those people you trust, right? Or the things you admire. Those are the people that we should be, so that people could respect us, follow us, so that way we could turn them in, we could lead them to Jesus. If you look at Luke chapter 6, verse 38, you don't have to look up, I'll read it. It says, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. I think one thing that we need to do is realize if God created all these things, if God created you and everything here, then there's nothing that we really deserve from God. Right? I think that should be the mentality. You know, when it comes to like giving offering, money offering, or giving time, we should remember that really it's God that created all things. So then when we give, we shouldn't really measure it too much. You know, we shouldn't be like, God, you know, I give you, you know, X amount, and so therefore I want you to make it 10 times bigger for me. You know, really, you don't deserve it. But give, and then God will bless it. You know, just don't think like, you know, don't think of God as like some kind of system. You give in a dollar and then God will give you $10. But just believe in God and trust in God, and that through that self-willed offering, God will bless you. And I want to talk about, can we all turn to Malachi chapter 1? Today, I'm sorry, I'm kind of going through all the scriptures, you know, normally I don't do this, but, you know, when I started thinking about offering, you know, all over the Bible it's there, you know, offering, we should be giving ourselves to God, that's what he wants, and I just think there's so many things. I guess today is like a basic course on offering, and I hope it is applicable to all of you, because, you know, this is really the secret to our life. Malachi, it's the last book in the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 1. Now here, this talks about God really despising religion. God despises religious giving. He wants our hearts, okay? Not like something like, oh yeah, I have to, you know, some kind of ritual. All right, I'm going to read Malachi 1. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If I am a father, where is the honor due to me? If I am a master, where is the respect due me? Says the Lord Almighty. It is you, O priest, who show contempt for my name. But you ask, how have you shown contempt for your name? You place defiled food on my altar. But you ask, how have you defiled you? By saying the Lord's table is contemptible. All right, starting from verse 8, read this carefully. When you bring blind animals for sacrifice, basically subpar, kind of forced, just like, you know, subpar, not something from your heart, okay? When you bring blind animals for sacrifice, is that not wrong? When you sacrifice crippled or diseased animals, is it not wrong? Try offering them to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you? Says the Lord Almighty. Now verse 9, now implore God to be gracious to us with such offerings from your hands. Will he accept you? You know, if you give something subpar, because back in these times, this is right before Jesus came to earth, right? Even the priests, I guess, you know, current day pastors, if you want to think of, visualize it, these people, they were giving just junk to God. They were saying, you know, God, here, you know, this is the ritual we've been doing all along, so let me do it, let me give it to you. And God was upset with it. Why the heck are you giving me these things? I don't need these things. It's not that I wanted you to go through rituals. I want you to love me. I want your heart. That's what I wanted. Verse 10. Oh, that one of you would shut the temple doors so that you would not light useless fires on my altar. I'm not pleased with you, says the Lord Almighty, and I will accept no offering from your hands. My name will be great among the nations from the rising to the setting of the sun. In every place, incense and pure offerings will be brought to my name, because my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord Almighty. Here's a great God. Here's a big God who created all things. Okay? And would he be happy with our religion? So I want to ask you, are you giving the right offering to God in your heart? Think about the time, your time, how you spend your week. All right? And think about your money. In Malachi, we're going to go over to chapter 3, so don't close the Bible yet. In Malachi, God challenges people that if they gave rightly from their heart, they would be abundantly blessed. God challenged them. All right, let's look at it. Malachi chapter 3. Let's start from verse 6. I, the Lord, do not change. So you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you, God? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. All right, this is verse 10 where God challenges. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it. There's your challenge. Just try offering your heart, offering with all your heart. And it talks about tithing. We'll go into that. If you just do that, listen, I'm going to fill you. This is what it says. See if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it. So there's God's challenge to you. You want to be successful? There it is. Here we talked about tithing. So I wanted to go through the, go give you a little brief introduction to tithing. First tithe is recorded in Book of Genesis. Abraham gave a tenth of everything. Tithe just basically means tenth. Tenth. And tithe is the only, I guess, structured information about how we should offer to God. So tithing for us Christians is just a mandatory requirement. God is saying, give me 10% and I will take care of everything for you. You know, you use your 90% wisely, you know, use it for your good, whatever. But for us Christians, minimum it would be 10%. And tithing includes everything that's valuable to us. And I want you to look at this, my sermon notes that I put in. If you look at the back, right, I kind of tried to make it practical so that way you kind of understand what tithing is like. And, I know this is, just look at it and, you know, as you become more grateful to God for the things that he's doing for you, you know, try to match it like this. Okay, so I was just giving some examples, just hear me out, okay? And there's other examples that you should come up with, other valuable things in your life. So offering of money or other valuables. If you're a working person, you should always give 10% of your earnings, all right? Minimum 10% and give more out of gratitude if God blesses you more. And then, you know, I was thinking, like, when we're in, like, high school, when we're in, like, college, you know, we may get allowances from our parents, right? And then after that, we start working, we start getting an income. You know, but we're so used to giving, like, a dollar at our offering, you know, basket that, you know, we may sometimes do that. But 1 Corinthians 16:1-2 says, you know, as you increase in your blessing, you should give more. So just keep that in mind. And, you know, we should always do it out of thanks to God. So earning from our allowances should also be tithed, right? Give 10% of that. It'll say you got a nice computer, you know, nice gaming machine, right? Dedicated to God. You know, and it may not be like, all right, if I bought this computer for $1,000, I give $100 to God. It may not be that, but you dedicate the system to God and say, you know, God, I want to use it so that way, you know, maybe we could encourage fellowship or something. All right, so another example would be car. You know, you get a car, you know, yeah, I'm not saying, you know, give 10% of what you paid for, but you could out of gratitude for God, to God, but use it for God. You know, say, God, I want to use 10% of this, you know, this car's life for you. That way I could help others in need, you know, maybe give rides in church. Jewelry, you know, think about the occasion for it. You know, I know jewelry is expensive. I'm not, you know, you could always give 10%, but, you know, another way of giving 10% is, you know, your dedication to it, you know, your commitment to it. Say you got engaged, right? Say, I'm going to, you know, love this person for the rest of my life. You know, commit to the things that, you know, that the Bible talks about. So I think that would be good too. You know, video game system, big screen TV. Well, share it with others, you know, that just say, you know, this television, this video game system, God, it's not really just mine. You know, God, you provided it for me. Let me be able to dedicate it for your use. You know, events in life, you know, give thanks to God, give thanks offering. You know, it could be money, it could be dedication, time, ministry. Right? And also offering of time. You know, I also wrote a note, all our lives should be devoted to God anyway. But I think one thing that we need to remember is in our busy world, we need to think about God, okay? And if we're talking about tithing, giving tenth, then at least tenth of your life, which is, if we multiply, 24 times 7 becomes 168. If we take 168 divided by 10, that's 16.8 hours a week, right? And I know it's going to be tough for us to think of it this way, but try to give that amount of time for God. And it's not just like, you know, sitting and praying and meditating, you know. There is importance to that too, connecting with God, praying and reading the Bible. But use this time to serve others, use the time to join small groups, join ministries, spend time, you know, maybe practicing for, you know, worship or some ministry that you are involved in, that you've chosen to help out in. You know, small groups, you know, maybe Lord's Day service, you know, we have a lot of need for setup, need for setup and helping out. Maybe you could do that. And here's one interesting thing. I actually wanted to read the whole book of Exodus, chapter 35 and 36. It's huge. It's really huge, but the reason why I wanted to read that is it talks about people giving offering because they're like so delighted to, you know, help God to build his people, you know, build the temple, you know, and do all these things. But let me just point to the main points. There's the offering of rest. God said, you know, for 6 days, you know, it's in Exodus chapter 35:2. For 6 days, work is to be done, but on the seventh day is your holy day, Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Nowadays, because we all live busy lives, we find it hard to take a Sunday off. Right? I know, I understand the situation. Sometimes we need to make the money and things like that. But it's another offering, self-willingly taking a day off. Talents. It's all over chapter 35, your talents. And I know some of us engineering mindsets, you know, we might be thinking, oh, we just need to make things functionally well. You know, we could have this church, you know, we could have the chairs here. But, you know, you guys know that some of us, some members of our church created this logo here, you know, those special designs and things like that. Those things are important too. The Bible talks about it, right, in Exodus chapter 35. You know, even something as like picking out colors, they're all in Exodus. That was very, you know, wow, it's all there. But, you know, these are, I just wanted it to be practical, so that way you guys know what an offering should look like. Something self-willed, then, you know, give to God, and he will make you successful. There's a guy in the Bible, many of you know this guy. He gave much of his life. His name is Abraham. Abraham was a very wealthy guy. Really, I mean, just think of it, like a millionaire. He lived in a mansion. He had all kinds of animals, many family members, many children. He had all the money. He had all the land. And then God said, go somewhere else. You see, for Abraham, he didn't have to go. He had everything he ever wanted. He had everything he ever needed. You know, and if he just stayed there, he would have been very wealthy. I mean, he would have just been happy with his life. When Abraham was told to go, he went. Why did he go? He felt that God had something better planned for him. I mean, if you think in today's terms, though, I mean, what more could be better than if you are wealthy, rich, have family, you no longer have to work for the rest of your life? You know, think about it. Imagine you're in that shoe, in that Abraham shoe. But Abraham, he decided to go anyway. He said, God, you must have something important for me, something better for me than what I had. It's talked about it, you know, in Genesis, all throughout Genesis, you know, parts of Genesis. It also talks about it in the book of Hebrews. It says, by faith, Abraham, when called to a place where he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went. He didn't know where he was going. God just said, go somewhere. He just picked up all his stuff, and he probably had to abandon a lot of stuff of his riches. He can't take the land with him, right? So he just went, even though he did not know where he was going. Verse 9 goes, by faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, you know, as opposed to the mansion that he lived in, right? He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Abraham didn't have to go. Abraham didn't have to offer, didn't have to self-willingly submit to what God wanted him to do. But he went, and guess what? In the end, he is called like the father of faith, right? His people were able to take over the promised land, where it was really good land, and all the 12 tribes of Israel, they were able to occupy that land. They were really richly blessed. So Abraham could have been happy on his own, but he really, by going, listening to God, he was able to take care of his children, right? And Abraham, he also did the same thing with his son. You know, you guys all heard the story, right? God said to Abraham, I want you to go take your son and kill him. Would you guys do that? You know, God says, go kill your son. I want you to take him up, sacrifice him. Abraham did it anyway. In the book of Hebrews, it says Abraham believed that God would maybe resurrect him from the dead. But really, I mean, this guy, he was kind of crazy, wasn't he? He went and followed God because he believed God had something better in mind than what he could think about. You know, he thought if he killed the son, he's going to die. And that was his only son, by the way. This was a son that was really hard to get. You know, his wife was barren for so many years. At wife's age of like 100, she was finally able to bear him a son. Finally, he has a son. But God, you know, but he, you know, God says, kill him. He did. Or at least he intended to. Because he believed God had something better. I think that should be our mindset. You know, if we offer our time and money is very valuable to us. I know it's valuable for all of you. Valuable to me too. All right? But if you offer, God has something better for us. That's the whole crux. And you know, I just want to wrap up with a few more things. I'm sorry. You know, I know I'm going long here. We should also give, even if we don't have much. I know some of us, we don't have much money to give. I know, with the bad economic times, I know it's really tough. There's this passage in the book of Mark, chapter 12. You guys are welcome to look it up. It's called the widow's offering. Basically, here was rich people giving like hundreds of millions of dollars to church, right? They're like, yeah, look how much I'm giving. You know, look at me. You know, I am, you know, so generous. And then here was a widow who gave like a dollar. And because this was all that she had, but she gave it saying, oh, you know, God, you can do something so much better with this. You know, God, I know you have a better plan for me. She gave all she had. And Jesus commended her, saying, this is more of an offering than what this $1 million is like. God is looking for your heart, not your money. And I want to recommend something to you. If you guys have, you know, difficulties with money right now, I want you to participate in ministries. I want you to devote yourself to coming to small groups. And then there's many ministries. There's a design ministry. You know, I'll actually show it to you guys later on before our small group meeting. But there's many things that, you know, that we need help in. Do those things as an offering to God. You know, don't think like, you know, yeah, you know, we don't need to do this. But think in terms of like, it's an offering to God. And God's going to bless me because I do these things. Some practical guidelines, all right? I know some of you, you know, my heart's not there yet. I don't know if there's God yet. I know it's okay. You don't have to give any time of your money. But I wanna be just frank with you, okay? I know some of you might not have it, you know, not be sure about this God yet. But for number one, for the Christians, okay? Church is a place made up of people. If you look at Acts chapter 2, verse 20, chapter 2, verse 44 through 45, it talks about Christians gathering together, giving each other, dividing whatever they have to give to each other. They have fellowships together. That's the picture of a church where we sacrifice and give. All right? And then here's a secret I want to give you. If you're not sure about this God yet, go ahead, offer anyway. And through that, you know, you may be able to meet God. You know, you may be able to understand what this God is about. And then I want to give you this challenge. Remember the passage we read? I want to challenge you. Give tithe of your time and money or whatever valuable you have for 3 months. And it's actually on your communication card. You know, check it out if you'd like. And this is my challenge to you, my saying challenge to you. Tithe for 3 months, even if you're not sure. And at the end of 3 months, see if you feel you're more blessed or not. If you feel you're more blessed, you know, I guess keep doing it, right? But if you don't feel like you're blessed, you could stop tithing. But I'm telling you, this is the secret, right? So this is my challenge to you. So, in conclusion, can we turn to 1 Chronicles 29? I'm going to read this and we're going to finish. I'm sorry, I really did run long. I'm really sorry. I want you guys to know God generally wants his people to be successful. And I still, you know, even me, you know, God, we cannot figure God out. I still don't know how God works. I still don't know how, you know, he decides who to bless and who to not bless. But, you know, I think for us, let's not think of God as like this, you know, this terrible judgmental God that's like, you know, you do wrong, oh, I'm going to punish you. He's a God that wants to help us to grow in our hearts. So that way, we do not go the wrong way. So, 1 Chronicles chapter 29, I'm going to read verses 10 through 18 before we finish. Here was a picture of a guy, his name is David. Here's a picture of a guy who believed everything already belonged to God and wanted to give his best. I wanted his people to give this best to the Lord. verse 10 through 18. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you. We have given you only what comes from your hand. We are aliens and strangers in your sight, as were all our forefathers. Our days on earth are like shadow, without hope. O Lord, our God, as for all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name, it comes from your hand, and it all belongs to you." Right, listen to this carefully. Verse 17, "I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things I have given willingly and with honest intent. And now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. O Lord, God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep this desire in the hearts of your people forever. Keep hearts loyal to you." So I want to conclude with this challenge to you. So we're starting this ministry. You know, we're starting out small. I know, and I got a lot to learn too. You know, you guys have to trim some of my edges, right? But I want to ask you, are you willing to give part of your life for this, for God? Are you willing to give your money, your talents, your time? You know, God is, you know, this, I promise you, this is just my personal promise to you because it says it in the Bible and I know it's going to be true. God will reward you in the ways you've never imagined possible if you were to offer. No, so how many of you would characterize your life as busy? You know, even in the midst of that, give some of your time to God. How many of you would characterize yourself to be rich or having some money? Give even some of that. Say, you know, it's not mine, God. I want to give it to you. I thank you for all that you've given me. I want to give it to you. Romans 12, many of you know this. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." All right, can we pray? Just, you know, take a moment to, you know, for those of you that know me, I don't want to take you for a ride. You know, I know you. I know some of you guys very personally, and I don't want to take you guys for a ride, like this fake, you know, show. You know, I don't want you to, you know, come to the church and, you know, think like, you know, you sit in the service and, you know, maybe you'll be able to receive God's blessings. You really got to offer your life. And if you're not sure about God yet, I want to challenge you. Do it. Just go ahead. Just try. Just try to do the things I'm telling you to do. I promise you, there's going to be some blessings in your life that you've never imagined. I promise you. I mean, remember I was talking about the t-shirt wearers, you know, "I'm a Christian" t-shirt. That's not what I want you to wear. I want you to be the Christian. I want you to be the lover of God. And then God could bless you. Really, he can. That's my challenge to you. Say to God, "God, I want to give my life to you. I want to offer my life to you. I want to give my valuable time and money for you." Do that. Do that. I promise you, he will bless you. Take a moment to pray. And, we'll close shortly. Just think about your life. Are you willing to give to God? Heavenly Father, Lord, we come here all different. Lord, we're all different, and we all have different experiences in our lives. And Lord, you know, there's many days ahead of us. And for some of us, we might have it together. You know, we might be thinking, you know, we just need to keep doing this and it'll be all right. But for the most of us, including myself, God, for the rest of my life, I don't know what my life is like. You know, what am I going to do with my life? And Lord, here we're devoting it to you, saying, God, let me trust in you, do the giving, you know, do the offering, self-willingly give to you and to others. And Lord, you will take care of everything. Father, I know we've been raised thinking, you know, we got to accomplish this, we got to accomplish that, we need to be able to put that on our resume, and then, you know, we'll be successful. But Lord, you teach us to be different. Teach us to trust in you and to believe that, Lord, everything is yours. And Lord, to give to you with grateful hearts. So Lord, I pray, Lord, from today forward, let our lives be different. Let us no longer just try to grow ourselves, just do the things, you know, we think is right. But Lord, rather take the time, take the things that are important to us, like money, time, and give it to you. And Lord, we believe that, Lord, you will fill it with much greater than what we have ever imagined. I thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.